Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast of the teaching at Life Journey Church in Crozet, Virginia. We believe that the gospel really is good news, that the blood of Jesus worked, and that Jesus meant it when he said, "It is finished." In Christ, we are dead to sin and alive to God, forgiven and free, clean and close, holy and beloved, blessed and made new. If God is doing something special in your life, we would love for you to tell us about it. You can simply email us at info@lifejourneyva.com. One of the reasons we are able to provide these weekly podcasts is because of the generosity of people like you. If you would like to support the proclamation of the gospel of the grace of God, you can make a donation now on our website, lifejourneyva.com.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone. As Brandon explained, I was not expecting to be up here speaking this morning. For a time, I've been considering, you know, maybe I should come up sometime and give my testimony. And then I got the email from Walt this morning saying that, "Hey, can someone speak?" And I'm like, "Well, Lord, maybe today's the day." So I sit down at my computer, collect some of my thoughts that have been spinning in my head for a while, and put them to paper. So here, with minimal preparation, I'll share this morning. So go easy on me, please. I'll start off with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this time to come together this morning to honor you, God. Lord, I pray over myself as I speak that you just give me the words to say, Lord, that it may be encouraging to any of those who are struggling, Lord, and just be a blessing to those who are not. Father, we just thank you for your grace that has covered us so completely, Lord, God, and has freed us from the condemnation of the law, God, and has allowed us to live in freedom for you, God, by your Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. So, really, I grew up in the church, so this is more kind of a testimony of coming from a partial understanding of the gospel that was kind of confusing and never feel like I was quite measuring up to just a fuller realization of his grace, what he has done for us, and how that interacts with us in our life. So I'm going to start by kind of going through some of the things I remember from growing up that may have affected my beliefs and the way I saw things. I in no means intend to throw anyone under the bus, because overall I think the church I grew up in was a good one, but just in some of the things I remember, maybe other people would have interpreted them differently, and everyone kind of has different bents, and mine is a little bit more of a mathematical engineering, black and white, want to understand everything as well as I can sort of bent. So, and some of it could also be just like me at the time, they did not have this full understanding of really what the Lord has done for us. So I first accepted Jesus as, you know, I don't know, 8, 7, somewhere in that range. I don't remember exactly. And kind of understood the forgiveness of sins and eternal life and salvation. But I think really what was missing was, you know, it was more of a gospel of, all right, God has saved you. Now you do your best to live for him. And these religious things we do of prayer and going to church, worship, those were all ways of trying to get closer to God and being better as a person and as a Christian. Now, I find it funny because after I started coming here, I went back and I was kind of looking at there's a book that the pastor who started the church I grew up in as a child put together, well, more of a pamphlet of who we are and what we believe. And I found the section on the gospel. I'm like, hey, it's there. It's, you know, you've been forgiven of your sins, and now through the Spirit, you're being transformed. But for some reason, I don't know if that wasn't preached as strongly when I was a kid or if there was just not a big focus on it, but that went past me. So I remember one time, and I think kind of over the years, I picked up just a number of, since I wasn't stressed heavily, I feel, growing up, I kind of picked up a variety of teaching from a number of sources, kind of had this smorgasbord of different Christian ideas, some of them less helpful than others. I remember one time in youth group, one of the youth leaders was sharing, and he had an illustration from Saving Private Ryan. If any of you are familiar with the movies, this mother, a lot of her sons had died. There's one left, and they go out to the battlefield to get him. And I think like one of the guys who was rescuing him lost his life in the process and now says to Private Ryan, earn this. And you know, I remember the youth leader saying that's kind of how he sees our relationship with God. We've been saved. Now we earn it out of what he has done for us. And just thinking about the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. There's also some kind of confusion over the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives and kind of what it meant to be filled with the Spirit, where some of the things I saw, it seemed like a little bit more of losing control, or was a thing that you got out of further purifying yourself, of having more faith. So it was almost like an extra level that you got to. And, you know, along with that thinking comes the thinking of, well, if I'm not there, is there something wrong with me? You know, every time you have a kind of extra thing that you're trying to live up to, but don't quite get there, or you go, I don't know, it seems, I guess it's real, but it seems a little weird. Anyhow, and then there's, of course, the teaching of, you know, all right, when we sin, you know, it breaks our fellowship with God. And, you know, then we got to get back in God's good graces. So fast forward to a couple years ago, we were leading youth group in the church that we were going to in the area at the time. And I focused a lot of my teaching kind of on apologetics, Christian living, and doing some topical teaching. You know, I really enjoyed apologetics, digging into kind of what is the, not only, like, I guess how to say it, what evidence is there for our faith beyond just what's in the Bible, and, you know, how do we know about the reliability of the Bible and all those fun topics, which I love. Christian living, like the moral teaching, and then topical. And little sidebar here, there's a guy I listen to a lot now, Mike Winger, Bible thinker, is his ministry, but he had this video earlier this year about advice for people who are coming up in teaching ministries, and he's like, don't start with topical. It is ripe for just going, oh, I want to speak on this topic, let's grab this verse, let's grab that verse, and next thing you know, you've pulled some things way out of context, and so anyhow, I think, you know, being that's what I focused on, that's probably what I mostly grew up with, is kind of my guess, since that's what I naturally went to. But, you know, as I was leading youth group and kind of doing some of this teaching and, you know, teaching about being, how to be a good Christian, how to live for God, you know, I started thinking about thinking about the gospel a little bit more, and the thought hits me of, you know, all right, we're saved by grace and faith alone. So the next question that naturally pops up in my mind is, all right, now how do you tell the kids that? And then where's then the value of all this moral stuff that we've been teaching them? Because it's just a little bit of a cognitive disconnect there at first. It's like, well, if you're saved by grace and faith alone, what does it matter if you do? But we're not saved into hedonism. No, that's not the case. So how do these two things connect? I'm sitting there thinking about that over, keep reading, and, you know, see verses like, if you love God, you obey my commands, and, you know, all right. And reading through James, it's like, okay, the faith, you know, your works are somehow evidence of your faith. And, you know, if you are really believing in God, if, you know, you really have faith in him, then you'll be doing these things. And through that, I start looking a little bit more critically at myself and, you know, how Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount kind of raises the bar. It's like, not even if you're doing these things outwardly, you know, it's what's in your heart. And as I look more closely at mine, I'm like, you know, my faith is kind of selfish, I realized. You know, at the same time, we had like these social justice movements going on. And remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees, how he was hard on them for, you know, you put all this weight on them of the law, but you neglect the widow and the orphan. And it's like, you know, a lot of my faith centers around, okay, what did I do wrong today? Now, all right, how do I do it better? How do I stop doing these things and feeling that, you know, God is displeased with you, or you're kind of separated from him because you're not living up to the standard of what that law is, to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect, to not only have that on the outside, but on the inside as well. And, there's all of us have probably something that we just continue to struggle with throughout the course of our lives. And it's kind of going back and, did it again and feeling like, you know, am I ever going to get this? And then seeing those verses of, you know, if you love me, you obey my commands. And you go, I keep doing this. Do I really love God? What's going on here? So there is some confusion about that, kind of getting to a lower and lower point. At the same time, we had this wonderful little girl right here in 2015 who was very hard on us sleep-wise. I was driving, you know, 3 or 4 days a week to Covington for work, so commuting 3 hours a day, working 8 hours on top of that, getting like 4 or 6 hours a night with her, and there's some stuff at work that was incredibly stressful now that I'm on the back end of it and see things more fully, but I won't go into that, being that we're live streaming and broadcasting. But just note, those are kind of factors that are coming in to me, kind of hitting somewhat of a low point. Our pastor at the church we've been leaving left, and therefore time we had people step up and kind of lead from the congregation, which was a whole lot of fun. And then an interim pastor came in, and that sort of changed things up. And so I remember driving to work one morning and just, you know, thinking about, you know, how I was not really excited about evangelizing and wondering, all right, God, I know there's eternal salvation. And what's in it for the here and now? Like, life's pretty crappy right now. And I know, I guess I get that if everyone lived up to God's law and God's world, this world would be a much better place. But then when I go to share my faith with others, it's like I feel weighed down by it a lot of times. Like, I'm just not getting there. I'm not measuring up. And it doesn't make you really excited about sharing that. And so it was really kind of a low point. And at that point, Walt, we at the church we were in, had a joint service, and he came and he was in his Christianity All Natural series. And that was, you know, he came, he spoke, and feeling very dry and parched, I was really refreshed by kind of his use of scripture and teaching. At the same time, I'm like, what is this about, you know, being forgiven once and for all? How does that work? I'm not really sure about this. And so I start listening to the podcast more and more. And then a couple weeks later, we start going to the Life Journey. And the series he was on was Christianity All Natural. It was kind of amazing how it was just hitting all those questions and things that were coming up in my mind of like, where is the intersection of law and grace? How do I reconcile these two things? And I was sharing about, you know, little Jewish Paul and how the law is the ministry of death in combination. I'm like, you know, that's exactly how I feel right now. And just really, really resonating with me of like, all right, you know, it's the law is good, yes, but it also convicts us and shows us how much of a need for God we are. And then he started filling in that missing hole, that missing piece of the gospel that I had not quite grasped so much of. It's not that you've been saved, now live for God. It's that you've been saved and he has transformed you. You know, it's not that you've been saved, now you live for him. You do your best to make him happy. You try to live up to what he wants, to have good fellowship with him. It's that when you accept Christ, the old has been cut off and now you are a new man, a new creation. And just, and of course, that takes a little bit to get over too, because it's like, but I'm so messed up. You still have these things and your selfishness and these other things that you struggle with. And like, am I really? Really? You sit there and think about it. All right, this makes sense. This answers the questions that I had in my mind. This kind of reconciles that cognitive disconnect of we're saved by grace. Now, what do works have to do with it? You know, it's now it is our new nature. It's who we are. And it's just this disconnect now from the new spirit he has placed in us and getting that to our physical mind and our physical body so we can really live. And the funny thing started happening as you start believing that, you know, he has made you new, you start having faith in this, is suddenly instead of focusing on, you know, oh, I messed this up, I messed that up, or you're not inwardly focused anymore, focused on your sin, is you're focused on him and his love for you and what grows out of that. Then I was finding was, you know, a love for others, more peace and more joy. And not only that is, you know, as you really believe that and God transforms you through that because you're no longer focused on your sin and getting things right. Your desires are changed by your focus on what he has really done for us. And, you know, those things that were always struggles are, you know, they're not gone, but, you know, as if you're really focusing on him, really believing on what he has done for you, they're a whole lot less, you know. It's, and really resonating with Walt says that, you know, we sin when we forget who we really are. It's, you know, those are the times we stumble, is when we forget what he has really done to us, when we stop believing that we have been transformed and made new by him. Let's see where I'm at in my notes. So, and then at the same time, this kind of gives you a whole new reason to evangelize and share your faith, because it's like, I don't know if there's anyone out there who wouldn't want to say, you know, I need to change. I need to be made new. I need to be renewed. It's not kind of, you've been saved, now work, do your best. It's, you've been saved, you are transformed, you are made new. And that was just, so I think I'm shorter than I was expecting, but kind of reached the end of my notes on that. So, you know.
So I think, Ryan, I think a lot of us have that same message. So not to,
yeah, no,
not to take away from what you said, but a lot of us have all gone through that same, in one aspect or another, right? We've all struggled with how it's good, it's refreshing to see somebody else, right? That somebody else comes and says, yeah, it's the same thing. I mean, how do I put these two things together? Going, and how am I supposed to live? It's like, just stop. Because Christ is all you need. It's all there. It's it. There's nothing else. It's been done for you. And the rest in that fact. And you know that you can't do anything that's going to make him stop loving, because he loves everyone. It's just some have come and accepted and some have not of what's been done for them. So no, I appreciate you sharing.
Yeah. Another thing I had in my notes that I remember now is that, you know, I've heard from some people, and Walt said it before, is, you know, some people say, well, when are you going to move on from grace? And I was thinking about how confused and all these different things swirling around in my head as I grew up in the faith, and like, you know, you always focus on the fundamentals. You know, I'm thinking of training in sports. It's like you're always doing, practicing those fundamentals so you don't forget them. Those are what allow you to do the bigger and better things when it comes to crunch time in the games, is that focus on the fundamentals. You forget the fundamentals and you try to do bigger stuff and you end up as a funny YouTube video. So it's like, if you, you know, there's kind of a relentless focus on it, but in some ways you need that so you don't forget, because that is the core. That's where everything else grows out of.
I think one thing too I've thought about too is, because, you know, the name of the church is Life Journey, right? And I've heard some people say, like, hey, well, you know, this message, it's almost like a master's course in the Bible, right? But it's, I can't imagine not having it, because it's so, it sees so much of how simple the message really and truly is, and resting in what Christ has done. And I guess for me, I look at it and say, you know, we know that, you know, people just say, well, it's always the same message over and over again. It's like, well, Yeah, but it's the message. It's the message of the whole. It's the whole Bible. It's what the message is about. And sure, maybe all these different books that we go through, and we go through front to back. Thank God it's the same message. Because if it wasn't, we'd all be in a lot of confusion and misconstrued. And I look at this and say it all ties back to the same thing about how much God loves us and what He did for us. And knowing that you can't do anything to make Him love you more. And what love He does have for you and grace is enough. So, I think there's a song about that. So any questions, comments? Sure.
To me, what you were sharing is like a rite of passage for every believer.
Yeah.
We all go through when we receive Christ, the gift, and then we wonder, well, what are we doing now? And it's like, you know, sometimes you read the Bible and it's just the difference in where you are in your walk with the Lord and what you see and what you're able to hear and what you're able to do, because you're right. You think, well, I'm never going to be good enough. I'm always going to fall. I'm always going to embarrass God. I'm always going to be here, and yet His love overshadows it all. And in the end, if you're humble in your heart and you're just saying, you know, I can't do anything to make it any better, but I fall on your grace, then He delivers us. And it's what you're saying, Brad. That's exactly what you're saying. It's different times, different stages.
I think for me, I grew up Roman Catholic, and I'm not, trying to be, having disparage towards Roman Catholic. It's just what I was growing up, and it's like, I never got it. Right? I never got it. It's like, and of course, as I got older, I believed in Christ, but, as you got older, it doesn't make sense, Why are we confessionals, which I never had to do, thank God. priest would have ran out, done it for an exorcism on me. But, just not understanding, not getting it. When we went on our own, there was still this mixture of law and grace. Even when we were at the Methodist Church, remember, and then luckily when we moved to the Dallas Fort Worth area, we were in a Christian non-denominational church, and the pastor that spoke was great, awesome, and. And then now that I go, and then we left and came up here, and that church that he spoke at, I really thought he got the message. And I had a whole bunch of these CDs, and I'd go back and listen to him. It's like, golly, he got it, but he really didn't get it. It's like he got it. He said one thing, but still relating back to the laws. And it's like, I thought this guy at the time. I thought this is the guy that really knows it and sure learned from it. But I tell you, it wasn't until we got to this church that it's like that message that you always, you knew it, but you never heard it spoken. And that's when until it came along. And it's glad to see there's other churches seeing it too. And what's interesting too, I guess I just cut it short, is that this message that you hear is also deemed out on the internet as like, an abomination. That it's what they call hyper grace. It's like, it's too much grace. Well, if too much. If Paul talks about grace upon grace upon grace. Well, why isn't it? So anyway, any other comments, questions? Okay. So one last message. I want to thank you. This is Craig's last day. Right?
Possible.
The plan was for it to be today, so...
But it might be in 2 weeks.
Well, we are happy to have you back anytime, and regardless, thank you.
Yep.
From the bottom of our hearts.
Thank you.
Yes?
I just wanted to share, you said, this is an abomination to people, because there are those who say grace gives me a license to do what I want to do.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's where I thought the missing piece was. That was never stressed enough, is that you are you're not just saved, you're made new. It's, you know, it's not just forgiveness, it's the restoration of his life
exactly.
in you. And,
there's those who take the message of grace and say,
I can
therefore, you know, because my sins are forgiven, because there's no more sin in the sight of God, hey, you know.
Yeah.
You're right.
And, and to me, that's the saddest part of it, is that how the message is distorted.
Yeah.
Where people have a hard time accepting.
Right.
And I think my response to that is, if you're thinking that because of grace you can just go and do whatever you want, you haven't grasped the full weight of your sin in the law to begin with. And then you also haven't grasped that, you know, you're not just forgiven, you're made new. Those two things, but, you know, the first definitely not.
So I was going to say, the same thing happened with Paul. They were like, you can't just tell people that, you know, there's grace and they can do whatever they want. And he's like, I think he actually used the word license. You know, like, that doesn't mean that you can just do whatever you want. You died to sin. How can you live in it any longer? Like, that's what it says in Romans. Yeah. So, I mean, that's been something that people have brought up before in millennia. You know? But it doesn't change the message of the gospel. I mean, the basis of the gospel is grace.
The message that I remember Paul saying is that, well, where sin abounds, grace abounds more,
yeah.
right? Do we say it's okay to go sin so that grace abounds even more? Maybe never be so, right? I mean, don't do that, right? That's not the message, right? It's not the gospel. The gospel is realizing what you've been transformed to. And, you know, part of that message I was going to share maybe in a future, but, you know, that at the beginning, it's like, we were conjoined with God, right? Adam and Eve were in the image of God, right? And then at the fall, that image is no longer, right? And there's no more like this connection with it. It's a separation. And with Christ now, I believe that connection has been reestablished. So I think where I'm going with this is that once you realize that you have that connection with him, Why do you want to? You've been given this incredible gift, and the tree of life itself. You've been given this life. Why? You know, it's not you. It's not that. Do we all still do it? Yeah, absolutely. But we're no longer held accountable to it. But at the end of the day, it's not a situation where you say, "Well, I can get away from." Doing whatever I want to do because I already have this. It's taking advantage. It's not really who you are. Anybody else?
We all have. To me, the answer is listen to the Holy Spirit. That's why he sent it to us.
Yeah.
So when we come under condemnation or we question something, just listen to that small, still voice saying, don't do that, or do it this way, or handle it this way. Because that's always going to direct you the best way. When you try to judge things and try to realize things in your own mind, this is the way I should, generally that doesn't work as well as when you allow the Holy Spirit to be the driver. You'll make better choices every time.
I agree with what you're saying, you know, and I think just to the knowing that you're not held accountable for your sins, and knowing you do know you've been given this right from wrong, right? So, but to me, it's all about Christ, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's all about him. And no matter what I do that's good or bad, it's not going to change his love for me.
Absolutely.
But if you're not sure which way, I think that Holy Spirit is right. Is there to help guide you, right?
So. If you fall down, he'll pick you up too. So, you know, it's all part of the grace.
So, very funny, like before and after, that just hit me when you were talking. So, I was saved at a very young age. And, like, again, didn't fully understand stuff, but I, in college, we had an evangelism class, which already seems kind of ridiculous. But we had this evangelism class that taught us how to go evangelize. And one of the projects was to go out in public and, like, for lack of a better phrase, like, try to convert somebody and then, like, write a paper on how it went. So I was like, who am I to, like, try to go save somebody? Like, I was like, I'm not even a good Christian. Who am I to go talk to some stranger in the mall? So I put it off and put it off and put it off, like every good college student.
Yeah.
And, of course, on the last night, I catch the flu.
No.
And so I was sitting in my dorm just, like, shaking with the flu. I'm like, I can't get a zero in evangelism. So I go out to the mall with the flu, and I have...
You're going to be spreading something.
There you go.
the world's most awkward conversation ever with this little old lady that just wanted to be left alone. I come up to her and sit on the bench next to her, and I don't honestly remember how it went. I tried to block everything out of my mind. But it was like... Let's just say she didn't get saved that night. And I came back and I wrote my paper, and like that was like one of the world's most terrible experiences. But then, you know, fast forward to 10 years later, we're here now. I sit having like experienced the same revelation as, you know, everyone sitting in this room. And next weekend I'm at Jazz Nativity in Richmond, which is something I've been doing for like a decade now. We go play a jazz concert series. We raise a ton of money to feed like starving children all across the world. Like 25 cents will buy the nutrition needed for a kid, and then they pack all these meals and ship them out. Like millions of meals we've sent overseas and all that. And for some reason, a couple Saturdays ago, they asked me to lead like the opening prayer for rehearsal. I was like, oh, okay, whatever, you know. So I start praying and just like thanking God that we can even call him Father and like to even know what price that cost. And something we didn't even have to pay to be able to be called children of God and all that. And so then I start praying like, you know, we're about to do a bunch of great stuff. We're like, this is all for a good cause. We're gonna raise money and it's all gonna go towards this very noble, amazing thing. None of it is gonna make us more holy in your sight. None of us are going to get any closer to you because of what we do. I pray that we would actually realize and know how pure and holy and righteous you've made us, and that we just give you thanks through the whole process. You know, and then after the prayer, some people come up to me and they're like, what was that?
What in the world was that?
I was like, your problem's with Paul. If you had a problem, if you got a problem with what I just said. But like, the before and after of a kid who like, who am I to talk about Jesus to anybody?
Yeah.
To then in a decade, openly and shamelessly saying like, it sounds weird to say I can't be any closer to God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the same person.
Yeah.
10 years ago was like, I'm not close enough to God to even talk to a stranger about this. You know, it's like
the realization,
the start before
revelation.
And after. Yeah. It's when it becomes less about something you need to do and something about who you are.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot easier to talk about.
Don't you think that is one of the biggest tools of the enemy for each of us?
So that
we think, my life, if you looked beyond my life and knew my life, you know, I have nothing to share. It's like what you were saying. You felt like, how can I talk to somebody? My life sucks. You know, it's not working for me. How can I tell you this will work for you? That's one of the greatest tools of the enemy to keep us silent. You know, realizing that, to be perfectly honest, we're all headed the same place. We do the best we can. We come from different backgrounds. We have different trials and things to go through, and we can share that and lift other people up. You know, it's not just about the fabulous Christian life. There's no problem. Once you know the Lord, it's easy stream. Yeah. I wish.
You're going to get rich, right?
Yeah. No, it's just not that way. So I think that's interesting.
The secret money by Bible message or money Bible man. What are there sometimes
that's
on
right.
the radio? Something's like,
right,
whatever. Anyway. No, that's cool. That's great.
That was a spiritual growth for you. I mean, that was the first step. You realize that now. But
well, just sitting here listening, I was like, oh man, a lot has changed in 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, the same person I was saved
like a young baby.
The whole time. Just now I understand something happened to me.
But I think it's also good to think that it's all in God's timing, too, right? You know, for all of us. So, and I don't mean just the whole revelation, you know, the realization of who you are and the revelation of what's been done. You know, it's like you kind of knew it back then, but you just didn't really know. Kind of like the way I was saying before, he got it, but he really didn't get it, you know? And that's kind of like us. I mean, I think now in this church, we get it. And coming together and fellowshipping and having a message and seeing that message always going back to him and then be able to share about it and talk about it and relate our experiences together, that's what we do as a church, which is good. Yes.
So I think I was just thinking about how, you know, in the different church groups that David and I have been a part of, we've been married for like 15 years now, and been believers that whole time. But, you know, in our early marriage, before we had kids and stuff, we did like missionary work and stuff. And I realize now, you know, we were in a lot of these churches that were very, I wouldn't say very law-based, but more kind of law-based. And being like missionaries, we were like, oh, y'all are just super Christians. And we're like, we're really not.
Yeah.
You know, and
I was quite aware that was not the case.
We knew that wasn't the case, but you know, it was like, oh, well, you're like, as far as like the law, you're like really going there, yeah. You know, you're like willing to go to all these places, et cetera, et cetera. And then when we moved back to our hometown, we were going to a house church that really did preach grace, and they were like, no, like, we all have the same access to God. You have no different access to God. In fact, you are young in the faith, and you need to learn. And we were like, they are so right. Like, we know nothing, and yeah. We need to learn from the, you know, these elders who have been walking the faith for all these years. And I felt like it made such a big difference because, you know, it's easy to say, oh, I'm, like, fulfilling these laws, and I'm doing all these, like, super Christian things, therefore I'm this awesome Christian, but then you're like, but I'm really not, and I'm terrible at this. No, I'm really good because I did my Bible study this morning, you know. But then to like go somewhere where they're like, no, like, you're totally missing this.
Yeah.
It's all about like what God has done. It has nothing to do.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's instead of me, it's you, it's him,
yeah.
him, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Ryan, thank you. Appreciate you sharing. Anybody else? One last call?
I was going to say one quick thing.
Yeah, and sure.
To Craig, but to everybody. I've talked to a handful of people about this, so I apologize if you've heard it before. But I think one of the beautiful things about the body of Christ is that it's not confined to this room, right? So, Craig, I just want to thank you for like the leadership you've provided musically, but when you've taught or just the fellowship, you know, on Sunday mornings, like adding stuff at the end. And I just think it's a beautiful thing when believers can come together, but can also be led by the Holy Spirit to go fellowship with other folks too. You know, it doesn't have to be this insular thing where there's a membership role or, you know, whatever it is, that we can all just trust that. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind that the Lord is leading you to go,
yeah.
You know, go on somewhere else. And I just commend you for that. I commend you for how you know, come to everybody and say, hey, I need this in my life. Because I think it's easy to kind of want to just be like, oh, maybe I should just kind of like slink out the door and not do anything. But like, we should celebrate this. Like, we should celebrate our unity in Christ, that Craig can go somewhere else and it in no way changes who he is in Christ or who he is as my brother in Christ,
yeah.
Right? So anyway, thank you. And just like, we have a wonderful, wonderful message, and so do a lot of other folks. Because it's the same one.
Go ahead.
I want to add to what I don't remember your name.
David. I'm terrible with names, so you can always
what
ask
David
me.
David is sharing, because sometimes I kind of had the idea that, okay, so are we more special? You know, if we're not careful, you know, we can kind of, we're more special than the rest of the body of Christ. But what you're saying is, you know, yeah, there's an understanding here, but as far as Christ is concerned, we're all one. And I wanted to tell Craig that be open to the Holy Spirit. You know, if you have a message for us, to come back. I really enjoyed your teachings as well.
Yep, we missed.
just wanted to add, put that bug in your ear.
I think it's cool. Yeah, it's cool that, and it's cool that, that this church isn't dominated by just Walt, right? It's all of us, and that's what the church is, right? And I agree. You know, it's why we hate to, you know, lose anybody, but then again, we've lost people over the years. Now, I don't hate to use the term loss. People have gone to other moved or whatever, but then I start thinking it's great that, that this message is being spread. It's good. It's a good thing. So, all right. So I'll just close real quick in prayer. Lord Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. Thank you for this congregation, Lord. I don't know what's in the future for us. I don't know how you'll, what challenges we may face, or what how we may spread or grow. I don't know, right? But all I know is that we can simply just put our faith in you and your Son Jesus Christ and what He's done for us, and this message is true. It's true to your name. It's true to how John says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. And to see this message for it to make sense, crystal clear sense, and that we just look to your Son and the fellowship that we have. And regardless of this world and the things and the changes, that we have the truth, and that truth is you, Lord. So I pray for this congregation. I pray for Craig and his family, and pray for Walt and his family, and everyone that's that's in this body, and not only for that, for our country and the tribulations that we're going through in our country. And we just look to say that this message, we just turn to you, Lord, and that by that we have our peace, and our peace is in you, Lord. And it's in your Son's name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right.
Thank you again for listening to today's podcast of the teaching at Life Journey Church in Crozet, Virginia. We'd love to hear from you. If God is doing something special in your life, let us know by sending an email to info@lifejourneyva.com. Feel free to pass today's teaching on to any friends and family that you'd like, but please don't change any of it or charge for it. This podcast is made available for free as a ministry of Life Journey Church. If you would like to support the proclamation of the gospel of the grace of God, you can make a donation now on our website, lifejourneyva.com. Have a great day.